Well, this morning I want you to take your sermon notes, and what I want to do is I want to talk about an issue in more detail than we've ever talked about in the 16 years that I've been here. And to be honest with you, it's long overdue. It's long overdue. We've had videos about water baptism. We've said that we baptize water. We have baptized several people, but we've never taken the time that we're going to take today to talk about water baptism. So today is not really a sermon. Today is more of a teaching time. I would actually never consider myself to be a preacher like some of those old preachers of old, but more of a teacher. And today we're going to teach you what God's word says about a very important thing, and it's called water baptism. So if we can show that picture, just the water baptism. And to begin our journey this morning, what I want to do is I want you to look at your notes, because on the top of your notes, what I did is I went directly to the Assembly of God doctrine, our 16 fundamental truths, and I found this description of water baptism, okay, what it means. And by the way, I looked at several other denominations throughout the week, and basically they're pretty much identical, pretty much identical. Mainline evangelical churches basically are believing the same thing about water baptism. But this is what the Assembly of God says about water baptism. It says, and you can read it with me, follow with me on the notes. It says, the ordinance of water baptism by immersion in water, not sprinkling, is commanded in the scripture. It says, all who repent and believe on Jesus Christ as Savior or personal Savior and Lord, they are to be baptized. The act of baptism symbolically declares to everyone that the old sinful nature and lifestyle of the baptized believer died with Christ at salvation, and a new spiritual being has been raised with Christ through his resurrection to live a new life. Okay? So that's our stance on baptism. If you were to look at a Baptist perspective, it would be identical. Looked at John Piper's this week. I mean, it was just identical, okay? So what I want to do today is I want to take the time to kind of break this down into four manageable pieces. So these are teaching moments, four observations, and you can fill these in on your notes as we go forward this morning. Number one, I want to make it clear that you understand that baptism is what we call an ordinance. Everybody say ordinance. An ordinance. So what is an ordinance? We don't use that word a lot. An ordinance is this, and I believe it's on the screen. An ordinance is, I want you to get this, an ongoing practice, meaning it wasn't one and done. It wasn't New Testament believers and done. It's supposed to be for even today. I believe it's supposed to be until the day Jesus Christ comes back to get his church. Amen? We're to practice this ongoing practice that was commanded. Commanded. I want you to put that in your notes. Commanded, and it was established by Jesus himself. Okay? So that's what an ordinance is. An ongoing practice commanded and established by Jesus himself. Okay? So most churches that you probably have attended, they practice probably two different ordinances. Okay? Number one, what's an ordinance that we practice every month? Anyone? Communion. That's an ordinance. That's when we remember, we recall what Jesus did for us on the cross, his broken body, his blood that was poured out for the sacrifice for our sins. When we come to the communion table, we're recalling what Jesus did for us. And we do that very well. I mean, some denominations, they do it every week, and I'm not opposed to that at all. We do it every second Sunday of the month. We come as a family. We come to the table. We say, Jesus, without you, we're hopeless. We thank you for the cross, okay? But there's a second ordinance that most churches, including us, observe, and that is called water baptism. Water baptism. Do we do this every month? No, we don't do this every month. We probably, as a church, do it about once a year. We ask people, hey, if you want to obey this ordinance, this command from the Lord, we encourage you. We're going to put it on this date. We want to invite you to be water baptized, okay? And like I said, this is a command. This isn't the Assembly of God idea or the Baptist church idea or the Methodist church idea. This is a Jesus idea, okay? This is a Jesus command. I mean, it's found throughout the gospel. One of the most solid examples is found in Matthew 28, verse 19. Look at it, it's on the screen. Jesus is giving what we know today called the what? The Great Commission. The Great Commission. And he says these words to his disciples right before he's ready to ascend to be with the Father, where he's now seated at the right hand of God. He said, therefore, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. That's your job. I'm leaving. Your responsibility is you're to go and make disciples of all nations. And this is what it's going to look like. Everybody say this together. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this is what I want you to do. Let's make disciples. And when these disciples come to me and they make a decision to follow me, one of the first things that's going to take place, you need to baptize them in water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, meaning you're coming into community with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's not just some kind of mystical equation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No, we're actually coming into this communion with this great triune God, okay? So this is what I think is really cool, and that is not only did Jesus command us to be baptized in water, how many people know that Jesus himself was baptized in water? You say, well, where do you find that? Matthew chapter 3. I want to read that. Matthew 3, 13 through 17. It says, then Jesus, this is right at the beginning of his public ministry. He's probably about 30 years old now. He was raised in a home just like you and I were raised in a home. Now he's ready to begin to go public with the gospel, with his ministry. It says, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to do what? Everybody together. Be baptized. By who? By John. But John, and I can see where he's at. It says, but John tried to talk him out of it. Okay? Because John understood who this was coming into the water. He knew that it was the Son of God. So he's like, whoa. He says, I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? Can everybody understand that argument? Okay? But look what Jesus does. It says, but Jesus said, it should be done. It should be done. For we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed, yeah, I will baptize you. And check out what happens at this baptism. If this happens today, we're going to have quite a time, okay? It says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, remember that, out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and it was settling on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. By the way, if we hear that this morning, we're going to say, wow, that person's walking with God. Amen? But that's what happens. Jesus himself, so not only did he command baptism, Jesus himself was baptized. And you know, some people get argument, they like to argue, why should I be baptized? And you know, for me, it's pretty simple. If Jesus was baptized, maybe I should be baptized too. I'm going to do what Jesus did. I'm going to follow his example, okay? So water baptism is an ordinance that we practice in this church. Most mainline denominations practice water baptism, okay? Second observation is this, and you need to get this because this may be new to a lot of people. Well, some people. And that is that baptism is immersion. Everybody say immersion. Say it like you want to be immersed. Everybody, immersion. Guess what? You're going to have to get wet. And I know you got a fancy hairdo. You just went to get your hair done. Or that might be very humbling for some people, but baptism, according to the scripture, is immersion in water. That's what if you went and looked at the original Greek language, that word baptism, baptizino in the Greek, means that it means immersion, where you get totally wet. It's not a sprinkling. It's where you get totally wet, okay? And by the way, this is the way the early church, they practiced baptism, where there was full immersion. I mean, let's look at a few examples. They're in your notes. They're also on the screen. Matthew 3:16. We just looked at this one, but we're going to revisit it because I want to emphasize something different this time. It says, after his baptism, listen to the wording here, as Jesus, listen, came up out of the water, meaning he was in the water. He came up out of the water. So what we see there, and it says the heavens were open. So what we see there is Jesus, his baptism was he went into the Jordan River and he became fully immersed. He came up out of the water. So there wasn't a sprinkling in this situation. There was a full immersion of his body into the water. Look at John 3:23. It's on the screen. It says, at this time, John the Baptist was baptizing at Aenon near Salmon. Why was he baptizing them? Look at this carefully. He was baptizing there because there was what? Everybody together. Plenty of water there. If there's sprinkling, you don't need a lot of water. But if you're going to get fully immersed, you need to be where there's plenty of water. You need to be able to go and be immersed in water. One other great example is Acts chapter 8. Tells the story about Philip coming upon this Ethiopian eunuch. And they're in a chariot. And Philip sharing the gospel with this eunuch. And this eunuch receives Christ. And let's pick it up in verse 36. It says, as they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And he ordered the carriage to be stopped. And they went, look at what it says they do. They went where? Down where? Into the water. And Philip baptized him. So, I think the biblical example is this, that baptism is this fully, where we're fully immersed in water. We're fully immersed in water. And you're going to see why that's important here in just a few minutes. So if you just hold on, don't try to jump ahead in your notes and cheat. We'll get there, okay? Third thing, it's very, 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 very important that you understand is that baptism isn't just for everyone. There's a key there. And that is that baptism is for who? Everybody say believers. Baptism's for who? If you go down and you get baptized and you're not a believer, and you know what you're doing is you're doing what? You're getting wet. That's all there is to it. But if you're a believer, there's a lot more to it. Are you hearing me this morning? So what I want to do is I want to go back. Look at the top of your sheet. I want to go back to the Assembly of God phrase here. It says, this is what it's for, believers. It reads like this. Everybody read this together. All who repent and believe on Jesus Christ as their personal Lord are to be baptized. So it's all who repent and believe. It's for believers. I think back to my life. I think back to my spiritual journey. I told this story 100 times. I gave my life to Christ when an old Baptist preacher stood up and preached salvation. He did it every week. It was almost like the same message every week. He was preaching salvation, which is wonderful. He was preaching the gospel. Fifth grade boy, the Holy Spirit was working in my life to the point where I felt convicted of being a sinner. As a fifth grader, I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon my life in such a powerful way. The Holy Spirit was at work. I came down when he had called for all people who wanted to accept Christ. I came down. I gave my life to Christ. And here's what happened. Immediately, the next week, what happens is we had a water baptism service. Because that's the pattern you'll see in Scripture. In Scripture, the pattern is generally, not always, but generally the pattern is this. Some short time after you come to Christ, after you repent, after you believe in Jesus, it's usually in Scripture we'll see there's a short time that people were baptized. I think one of the greatest examples is in the book of Acts. You need to read the book of Acts because there's something called the day of Pentecost. Has anybody ever heard of that before, the day of Pentecost? What happened on the day of Pentecost, Peter, who had just previously denied Christ, now has the power of the Holy Spirit, and he gets up and he goes out into the streets of Jerusalem. And he preaches this powerful message of the gospel of Jesus. And it says that the people were pricked at their hearts. The Holy Spirit convicted them. And we now know that there were 3,000 people that day, 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus. That's how the church started. But you know what they asked? Immediately they asked Peter, what should we do? And look at verse Acts 2:38. This is Peter's reply. He says, each of you must repent of your sins and you need to turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. I do want to make something very clear, because there are denominations. There are denominations that say this. They said for you to be a believer, for you to really be a Christian, you have to be baptized. I believe that that contradicts Scripture. To become a Christian, what we do is we put our faith in Christ. Are you hearing me this morning? It's by grace that we're saved, not by works, but through faith. So we get saved by grace, okay? But what's this baptism about? The baptism is simply we're saying, hey, I want to demonstrate something outwardly that happened inwardly. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense to everybody. And if it doesn't make sense, come up to me sometime and say, that didn't make any sense at all. And can you talk to me more in detail about that? But there's these denominations that say you need to be baptized to be saved. No, it's simply an act of obedience. It's simply an act of obedience. It's one of your probably your first steps of obedience. Will I obey God? Will I get into the waters? Will I be immersed? Will I follow this ordinance, this command of the Lord? Is everybody with me this morning? See, I think it's very important that we teach this stuff. I really do. Because my problem can be that I assume people know what I know. Or people, and I hope that didn't sound arrogant, because that's not what I want, okay? How can I say this? I hope people know what here's a better way of putting, people know what the Scriptures say. Are you with me? And if the Scriptures teach it, I want to teach it to you. Amen? And I believe the Scripture is very important that after you give your life to Christ, it's these believers, they come and they're baptized. Okay, so let's look at one last thing. Some of you are squirming around this morning. You're thinking, I got sprinkled as a kid. What was that all about? Don't worry, we're going to talk about that in a second. Okay, you say, well, we're going to talk about a lot of things in a second. How long are we going to be here? Okay, we're in good shape. Fourth and final, baptism is a symbol. Everybody say symbol. Raise your hand if you're married. How many of you right now, and I'm not, that's a bad example. How many, I found out today, I think I lost, where's my wedding ring? Did I lose it again? Sorry, Heather, this is the first time I told you about that, but I couldn't find it this morning. What a place to tell your wife you think you lost your wedding ring. I don't know if it's in Dayton, Ohio, or if it's here at home. We'll figure that out later, okay? But anyway, how many people, let's start all over again. How many people are married? How many people are wearing a wedding band today? If you have your wedding band on, keep your hand high. You guys look good, those wedding bands. Okay, you can put your hands down. Ladies are showing them off. Yeah, check out mine. Oh, okay. Why do we wear wedding rings? It symbolically tells people what? That I'm happily married. Not just married, but I'm happily married. And I want all the other ladies to know, man, I'm taken. You know what I mean? I'm only kidding. Okay. But anyway, it's symbolic. It symbolizes that I am married. Actually, it doesn't make you married. You go through a whole ceremony. You live life together. It's simply just a symbol of something that happened, and now I'm married, okay? And I just want you to see this, because when you're baptized, what that is it's symbolic. And it's symbolic of two very important things. And look at these things in your notes. It symbolizes two things. Number one, it declares that the old sinful nature and lifestyle of the person being baptized has died with Christ at salvation. It's symbolic. When I'm baptized and I go into the water. So if you're going to be baptized today, or if you've been baptized in the past and the pastor puts you into the water, you're symbolically saying, I died. I died. I died with Christ. I died to that old sinful nature. I died to that old sinful lifestyle. Okay? And then number two, it declares that a new spiritual being has been what? Raised with Christ through his resurrection to live what? A new life. So when the pastor puts you in the water, you're going down and you're dying to self. You're dying to the old lifestyle, the old sinful nature. And when you're coming up, it's symbolic that now you've been raised with Christ and you've been raised through his resurrection. Now you're going to live this new life. I think it's really summed up in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. That's water baptism. I'm going into the waters. I'm going to die in the waters symbolically. When I come up symbolically, I have this newness of life. Let's look at one last verse for today. Romans 6:4 says, "For we died and were buried with Christ." Where at? Everybody say it together. Baptism. We died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So you go down into the water, you die, you come up, and you're living this new life. Okay? Is everybody clear about baptism now? Some of you are like, no, I need more clarity. Okay? So what we're going to do in closing this morning, this will take about 5 minutes, I'm going to address three commonly asked questions. Three questions that people ask of myself or pastors around the world. Question number one is this: I have already been baptized. Should I be baptized again? I've already been baptized, and now I've heard this teaching. Should I be baptized again? Let me read what I have here, because I don't want to mess this up. Your baptism should have signified you becoming a follower of Jesus, beginning a changed life. Now you're in this new family. If your first baptism did not reflect this change of life, then you should probably be baptized again. Meaning this: if you got baptized and you really didn't know what it was all about, maybe to you it was just another religious ceremony that you should be a part of, but you didn't really understand what that meant, you dying to self and being raised to life again, and you just didn't, that didn't calculate not only in your brain, but in your heart. People all the time say, well, should I be baptized again? I think you need to be baptized knowing what it's all about. Knowing what it's all about. See, that shouldn't have been just a ritual that I went through it because that's what we do in our family. That's how we flow. That's how we roll. No, baptism should be when we have a clear understanding of the amazing thing that Jesus Christ did when he was buried, when he died, and when he raised again. When we understand that, that's when we go into the waters. Is that clear this morning? By the way, you can talk back this morning in order by raising your hand. If you have a question, we can answer the question. Because today it's more of a teaching time than trying just to convey another message. But I want us to get this because I really believe that this is, it's an ordinance, meaning it's a command. And we really need to be careful to obey the commands of God in our lives. That we need to be serious about, Lord, if this is what you command, I want to do it. I want to be doing what you want me to be doing. Question number two. These are all good questions. Can my child be baptized? Can my child be baptized? Here's my answer to that. When your child has an understanding of what baptism symbolizes, and they want to take that personal public step of declaration, but they understand, meaning you need to sit down as a parent and maybe at their bedside or at the kitchen table, you need to be able to ask them, do you know what? Tell me. Don't just answer yes or no, but you tell me what you think this is all about. And when they can tell you what this is all about and you feel good about that, I say, man, we feel good about that. See, so many times we rely on pastors, we rely on children's pastors, we rely on youth pastors to teach our kids. Come on, folks. Those pastors only have your kids 1 hour a day, 2 hours a day. I think the primary ministry should come from you as the parent. The primary ministry to my boys is not the youth pastor. It's not the children's pastor. The primary ministry to Grant and Nolan should be Mike and Heather. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are, and especially men, we're called to be the, what's the word I'm looking for? The priest of the home. We're the spiritual priest of the home. And the home is the teaching place. We have 168 hours a week, I think it is. And we're going to rely on the church that only has your kids 2 hours a week. Folks, we got to up the game. We got to up the ante. We got to get in. We got to get in their lives and say, hey, you tell me, what do you think that means? And if they give the wrong answer, you can say, hey, there's going to be another chance next year. Let's figure this out this year. You know what I'm talking about? It's cool to talk at home, teach at home. Okay? Last question of the day, and we're going to go eat, and then we're going to go be baptized in water, if you choose to do that. Here's a big one, and this is really big because we come from a lot of different denominations. Can my infant be baptized? Can my infant kid, who doesn't even talk yet, can they be baptized in water? Well, throughout the New Testament, let me say it this way, the Bible teaches that baptism was what? A public expression of worship symbolized by this new life to follow Jesus. That was baptism. Jesus was baptized. But there's also something called dedication, where we dedicate kids to the Lord. That's the approach we take at this church. We dedicate children to the Lord. Jesus, his parents, actually dedicated him to the Lord when they went to the temple. We, as parents, what we do is we come and we dedicate our kids to the Lord, saying, God, be with our child. Keep them safe. Watch out over them. Lord, prepare their heart for the gospel. May they be open to the gospel. And it's not just for parents, it's for our kids, it's for the parents. Help us as parents to lead by example, to teach by example. And so that's what we do, is we dedicate children to the Lord. We dedicate them, bring them up. You've seen that done hundreds of times in this church, where we dedicate and we say, Lord, you've given us this beautiful baby. Now we give this baby back to you. It's not ours, it's yours. We're simply the stewards. Help us to raise this child in a way that would be pleasing to you. Okay? And let me just throw one last thing in there. Some people say, well, what if a baby were to die and they weren't baptized? We believe there's something called in Scripture the age of accountability. And it's not until someone's accountable, till they understand the gospel message, until they understand it. It's not until then that they're accountable. Meaning if someone before that age were to pass away, I believe they would immediately be with my mother today and they would go to be in the presence of the Lord. Okay? And that's why we dedicate. But we baptize when they come to that second question, when they understand what Scripture has to say. Was I clear today? Some of you are, yes, you better be clear because I want to go eat, okay? Are we clear today? This is really important. This is a very important ordinance. We do communion every month. We need to get really serious about baptisms. Water baptisms are very important. They're a command of the Lord. By the way, I do want to say we also celebrate, we also practice unexpected baptisms, meaning you came here today and you didn't think this was even on your radar. How many people know you put your clothes in the wash every week? They've been wet before. And you've been wet before, and if you want to come, and you don't even have time to go home. We got towels, man. It won't be long, you'll get home. So I just want to bring this to you this morning. So let's just bow our heads. This is not Pressureville. This is teaching. And if you need more teaching, there's so much out there. Just make sure you go to the right places to find your information. Right places. Because I just want to let you know, I don't know if you understand this or not, but everything on the internet's not true. And everybody said, wow, you're kidding. Yeah, it's not true. You need to make sure you're going to the right places, okay? And the primary right place, I want to say, is God's Word. Everybody hear me this morning? God's Word. That's why we're encouraging you all the time to be in God's Word. Not because you need another legalistic thing to do. We encourage you to be in God's Word so you can discover for yourself, what does the Bible say? Is Pastor Mike even on target? You need to open your Bible. You need to read it for yourself. See, there's so many denominations that are afraid to say, hey, folks, go read your own Bible, because they don't want you to discover certain things. We're totally the opposite here. I want to say, open your Bible. Get into the Word. Devour the Word. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you as you read the Word. There's so much in there. We got to get it. We got to live it. And I tell you what, it's the way to live. Amen? Because if you want to live a blessed life this morning, I'm going to tell you there's one simple key to a blessed life. The key to a blessed life is find out what God wants you to do, and then what? Do it. Find out what God wants you to do. Not what the Assembly of God wants you to do. Not what Pastor Mike wants you to do. I think you really need to find out what the scripture says. What does God want me to do? And then if you'll take steps and you'll obey God's word, his blessing will rest upon your life. Amen? So Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the people that are here. I love these people. I thank you for the privilege of being able to open your word this morning. And Lord, I just pray that if there's some area where I may have messed up, I pray, first of all, that you would forgive me. And Lord, that you would reveal that truth to me and to everyone in this room. God, we take your word as literally your spoken word. We take it literally as your word given to us. And Lord, we handle that with just such deep respect, with such deep respect. Even if it means we go against what the culture is saying, we don't swim with the culture, we swim with your word. So Lord, help us to be diligent, to be people of the word of God. Lord, help us to have a hunger, a thirst, a desire that we would take even 5 minutes a day. Take just 5 minutes a day, and that would grow where we just say, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to open my Bible and I'm just going to begin to read for 5 minutes and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me. And God, that you, through that, you'll reveal more of yourself to us. And we just thank you, Lord, today. We just thank you, Lord, today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. It's just an honor to be able to be here. I love our church. I'm thankful for our church. And I just want to let you know we're all on a journey together. We're all on a journey together. Amen.